Hey everybody, welcome to Creator's Playbook. I'm Robbie.
I'm Steven.
Are you though?
I am. Last I checked.
When is the last time you checked?
Actually, so it's been a little bit, if I'm going to be completely honest, but the picture matched the image I saw in the mirror. So I figured, okay, I must still be me.
Oh, I thought you were going to go for a vampire thing and be like, I looked in the mirror, wasn't there. I looked in the photo, wasn't there either. I'm still a vampire.
No, I'm actually probably more of a doppelganger.
Ooh.
And so, am I the real Steven? Am I not the real Steven? That's for you to decide.
I like that you're leaving it up to us, because you know, don't you? You're not... Do you know?
I mean, that's the ultimate doppelganger, right? Is that the doppelganger themselves don't even know?
Yeah, if they're that good, they wouldn't know. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that.
But I might know. Who knows?
I'm going to wing it here and say you're the real Steven. To me.
Okay, well,
to me,
I wish you all the best in that theory.
Well, I didn't really put a whole lot of thought into it. Don't know if I'd call it a theory, but I'm going to float with it.
Okay.
Hey, guys, we're talking about vampires, not doppelgangers. Sorry for those of you that got your hopes up, but it is still a pretty cool topic.
I mean, this is day two of our spooky episodes.
Halloween.
Yeah. Oktoberfest. No. October. Scary season. Yay. Okay, yeah, I'm excited though. So let's just get right into that music.
I could tell. Yeah. Ooh, Steven, calm down. Vampires.
So many vampires.
But really, though, like vampires have grown a lot in the last 20 years.
They're really popular.
Huge.
Yeah.
Exploded. And they've always been kind of popular. But something about the last 20 years is, you know, they went through their pirate experience, essentially, where they were bad guys, you know, back in the 1700s. And then sometime in the 20th century, 21st century, they just got super popular. And then all the bad guys became good guys. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. The renaissance of vampires, if you will.
It's been the renaissance of vampires. And so we're going to do a little experiment here, Steven. I'm going to throw the word out here.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me what you see. I want you to paint a picture for me. Vampire. Okay, paint that picture. What do you see?
You're not going to like me, but I see sparkly guys out in daylight.
Wow, really?
Stephenie Meyer, man. She replaced everybody's image of vampires. If you're not sparkly out in daylight, you're not a vampire.
But you know what, though? This actually kind of leads into my point about vampires and this spooky tale that we're going to unravel together. The thing about vampires, and I don't know if this actually goes back to the original, you know, Dracula story.
Mm-hmm. Transylvania.
But Transylvania, exactly. But, and I really should have looked into this. But what it boils down to is... the allure, the temptation, or the trap that is a vampire. A vampire tends to present you with something you want or crave, lures you in, and then traps you until it's too late and you face your doom. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about because there's this mall up in Salt Lake, and every time I'm down there, and let me tell you, it's been over a year because it's been a weird year, but I'm walking down this mall. And I see the Cheesecake Factory, and it's a trap because you can't not go and get yourself a slice of cheesecake. And there I am with a slice of delicious chocolate cheesecake, and I'm just slowly dying on the inside as they siphon money right out of my pocket.
Oh, my gosh. I got literal shivers.
It's a real thing, dude. Yeah. I don't know how not to do it. And now every time I see cheesecake anywhere because of that company, I have to buy it.
Oh my gosh. Well, they're cheesecake vampires.
I bleed green. That's what it comes down to.
Well, if anyone's going to siphon, at least you're getting something out of it, right? They're biting their fangs into your wallet and sucking all that sweet green juice. But hey, you get cheesecake.
I mean, it's true. And you do feel good for like... a nice 30 minutes of just enjoying. And I'm not saying that it's going to take you 30 minutes to eat the cheesecake, but after eating that, I feel pretty good for about 30 minutes. And then I'm like, that was an expensive slice of cheesecake. Worth it. But let's remember where we're at.
Traditionally, originally, contemporarily. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Vampires were pretty freaky things. What is it for you that what makes a vampire scary? What's so terrifying about the concept of a vampire?
Well, okay, there's a lot of different theories and versions of what vampires are and what they can do and what they can't do. But I think the overall theme, just like what you were alluding to, is that they lure you in. And it's the powerlessness of a vampire. Mm. They can either kill you off right away and you just become a delicious snack. But then there's also the whole side of, will you become a vampire? And how do you become a vampire? But then also for those that don't become vampires, if you're still, you know, in their clutches and they're just kind of savoring their victims, there's a whole side of you become entranced and you lose your will. I think that whole aspect of just being powerless, or let me put this a better way, becoming prey. I think that's what makes it scary, where there is a being more powerful, like stronger than you are, and you know their whole motive is to eat you. And
they are a monster.
Yeah. I think the aspect of being eaten is just kind of elevates that fear aspect.
If you had to take kind of a real life equivalent to these creatures, that terror somehow becomes more amplified, because no matter how you look at it and no matter how the author tries to twist and spin the story and the psychology of a vampire, in every telling, it is a human-like creature.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's human. That is a creature that is sentient and aware and has thoughts and feelings and desires, one of which is to suck out all your blood. But if you look at a human equivalent in the real world, then you have to look at the mind of the person that's willing to take the life of another, that monster of the mind, that darkness of the mind. And I feel that, you know, deranged. Being the prey, the deranged. And what horrors have to exist in a mind like that? And usually when you look at modern day, you know, mass killers and murderers, that is a question, you know, why? And everyone's afraid to look into the mind. This beast, this monster, no one really wants to comprehend, and kind of terrifies us all. So yeah, it's this terror.
There's also this transformative side of vampires. It's quite terrifying in and of itself. Most versions of a vampire, they're able to transform into a beast. And sometimes it's much more small, like a transportation, get around type thing. But other versions show them like transforming into massive winged demon-like creatures. And so that aspect is really quite scary as well. Because,
you know, what's always bugged me about that?
Huh.
If you have the ability to transform into a bat, the physics and science required to make that happen is so unbelievably complicated.
We're talking about demon magic, okay? So
I know. But I'm just saying, like, in these worlds of demon magic, like, if they can transform into a bat, they can transform into whatever the heck they want. They could be a toaster or a Tesla.
Who says that they don't transform into toasters? You would never know.
That Van Helsing walks into a room surrounded by cell phones on the floor, and he's like, "I'm surrounded." And he pulls out his wooden stake and his metal cross,
slowly like stabbing every cell phone.
Yeah, he's going around, and like they're all screaming and transforming to eat him. He's like, "You thought you could fool me? No one puts this many iPhones in a single room. Nobody."
I would pay to see that movie.
Are you kidding? I'd see that hands down. That's my go to. B movie of the year. Did you want to finish your thought?
Which one?
Well, you're talking about vampires.
Oh, nope, I'm good.
You're good? Okay, well, I did write a prompt. Should I read the prompt?
Cool, so we're doing another one of those this week?
Yeah, yours was so cool last week that I was like, you know what? I want to do one too.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, I couldn't
resist. Excited. Oh, I want to hear what you wrote.
I hope it's okay. We'll find out.
I bet it's fantastic.
Let's put on that sweet, sweet, creepy music. There's something to be said about the color gray in fall. It's one of the few times in the year that the color gets to feel welcoming for once, despite it being one of the more lifeless colors that a sky could take. Jenk didn't care. He liked fall. So much so that he was one of those guys that liked to leave the windows down, despite the unfriendly mid-60s blowing past him. He did this every vacation, and it was pretty great. Yeah, it was a little lonely, but he kind of preferred things that way. The brochure for this town, in particular, had probably migrated to a few dozen places in his house over the past year, tempting him with late fall fishing in ponds and rivers, camping sites galore, and a quaint little hotel with the perfect bed and breakfast. It had all the ingredients of what he wanted, and a nice week-long vacation.
Did he really keep that brochure, though? How long has that been in his house?
Okay, am I the only one that does this? I have stacks of letters that just migrate around the house until I finally like pick them up and go through them.
I have like a basket where I toss things that interest me, but then I eventually just throw them away. Like I don't know. I think when we're planning a vacation, we just have like a Pinterest board of places that we want to go. Not that we haven't done anything this year.
Oh yeah, all things considered. And here we are in fall, no less.
Well, I hope he has a great vacation. I can't wait to hear how this bed and breakfast turns out.
Well, considering it's a horror story, probably not well.
Oh, no. Okay, let's go.
Fall hit this little town early this year. As he drove in, he noticed the trees were old and craggly, with naked branches reaching towards the chilly sky. The ground was clean and barren as far as he could see. Something about that seemed off, but it had been a while since he'd gone on vacation. It was probably just his imagination. As he pulled into town, the houses were just what he had hoped for. Quaint little houses just like he imagined, probably with no more than 3 bedrooms per home. This is the kind of place that would worship his patronage with a warm smile. So long as he had a fat, juicy wallet in one hand.
So not my wallet, like, just to be clear. Like,
hey, this not town mine would either. Not,
this town would not like me.
Oh, geez. No, neither of us would be worshipped. We would probably be the vagabonds wandering into town, quickly getting kicked out.
What does this guy do for work? And now I'm like super curious.
Well, he said it's been a while since he's gone on vacation.
Oh, okay.
But he's got a fat, juicy wallet. You know, I'm going to say he is a doctor that specializes in the removal of tapeworms.
Oh, okay. A veterinarian doctor for like your dog? Like, are we talking?
Yes. He takes care of people who have intentionally infested themselves with parasites.
Oh, dear. Ooh, okay. That's a lot to process. Let's go back to the story.
Should I say that? Do we want to keep that a podcast? That's kind of weird. I don't know.
I mean, it'd be apropos for what's going to happen to him. So,
probably. It's very appropriate. He pulled up to the little hotel, wedged up against the forest that stretched on for miles behind it. When he stepped out, the air felt oddly stiffening instead of refreshing. Somewhere in the distance, he could hear the squeaking groan of metal biting tightly against itself, like a swing. He looked around, not quite able to pinpoint the sound, despite how oddly quiet it was. Judging by the dark orangey skies, most people would be home, but only the hotel lights were on. All the other houses were dark. He stood there for a second, staring, listening to the hypnotic screech repeating over and over again, resisting the urge to scratch his chest. "Eh," he muttered, grabbed his bag and trotted into the hotel. The front desk was perfectly assembled. Oh, now that I read that, that does not make any sense. Hold on.
Wow, they follow the IKEA instructions really well.
It was perfectly so. He goes up to the desk and he's like, "Where did you get this? This thing is amazing." Standing at the front desk was a pleasant young woman with brilliantly blonde hair and pale skin. She smiled as he approached the desk. He could still hear that screeching, even inside the house. It was driving him insane. "Here's your key, sir. Up the stairs," she said. "Room 4 on your right," placing it on the table. He nearly laughed. The place probably didn't get many visitors. He was likely the only one today.
That was like literally the easiest check-in I've ever heard in my life.
I know, right?
You approach the desk. "Here's your key."
Here's your key.
"You're the only one here. Your room is upstairs to the left. Here, go. Don't worry about payment. We'll collect that later."
She reaches under the desk and pulls out a bowl of cereal. "Complimentary cereal.
It's already poured.
It's already poured."
"I did it this morning at 6 o'clock. Oh, I know it's 2 p.m. Don't worry. It's just mushy.
Would you like a cup of coffee?" Sets it on the desk. "How about a hot towel?" Sets it like a mushy white towel on the desk. And she just keeps going. She just keeps piling things on the desk.
The coffee has been sitting out for 3 hours. The hot towel's been sitting out for seven
hours.
It's the hot towel is now like a cold towel and completely stiff and dry.
It's just a catalog of things that are way better warm or hot. That's all been 7 hours later.
How about this porridge? It just has a little bit of mold. Don't mind the flies.
Oh dear. Gosh, where was I? Should I
right after the check-in, she just gave him the keys.
Yeah. He nearly laughed. This place probably didn't get many visitors, so they've probably been expecting him for hours. He was likely gonna be the only person today. He gave a friendly smile and promised himself that he'd chat her up later. When he got to his room, he began to unpack. Not much, just a fishing pole, one-man tent, and a few set of clothes. He had a week of adventure ahead of him, and he doubted he would need much along the way. Then there was that screeching again. Instinctively, he looked out the window, and he finally saw what it was. There, sitting on a swing, was a small girl, head hanging low. Every time she swung, he could hear the screech from a rope tied to a leafless branch. Then he realized what had been bugging him. Fall hadn't hit this little town early. Those trees were dead. The forest floor was completely spotless of leaves.
Well, that's depressing. How did he get a metal screech from a rope tied to a dead tree?
That's supposed to be the creepy thing. It's supposed to imply that she's making the screeching sound.
Oh.
I was trying to think like how obvious or is, because some people are going to read this and be like, that's confusing. Or they're like, oh, she's making the screech. It's supposed to be an aha moment, but.
I would probably every time the screech happens, her mouth is open.
Yeah, that would have been a good point. Like every time she swung and her mouth opened. Cereal poured out. This place has a weird cereal thing going on. I don't know.
I think that's probably the coolest part about the town. Not gonna lie.
He walks in and it's just cereal memorabilia all over the place. There's a picture of a box of cereal on the above the bed. There's a cereal lamp on the nightstand. I don't know. Cereal boxes everywhere.
Every room is themed. Do you have like the room of Lucky Charms? You have the room of
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, Kellogg's cereal. It's their healthiest room.
Can
it's
I have
the most
the,
organic?
Can we please get the cuckoo room? Okay.
She smiles. She takes the bowl back that she gave you earlier. Put it under the table. Pulls out another mushy bowl. Sets it up. Here's your cuckoo puffs.
your cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Mm-mm. What room would you choose, Robbie, if you had to choose a cereal-themed room?
Oh, geez. Do I go healthy? Do I go for a fan?
You can't go healthy for eating cereal.
If I had to choose a room, Steven, I would probably have to say probably Captain Crunch.
That would be a fun room.
Yeah, Captain Crunch or Lucky Charms.
The bed is like a sailboat. Like all the dressers are like a giant crunchy cherry with like the drawers that pull out.
There's just like a ton of bowls of fruit in the room, just all over the place.
All the pillows look like the yellow crunch like things that don't make any sense. You know how there's like the blue and red puffballs and then like the yellow.
Yeah, it's like I got you. Yep. Like even on the like recliners and little love couches in the room, there's a couple.
that would be a great room.
I gotta be honest, I'd probably visit this hotel. I'd check this place out.
It cereal legitimately sounds hotel. Cool.
It does.
Could you imagine like one of the walls is just like cereal dispensers, but they're all the different versions of Captain Crunch?
Taking bed and breakfast to a whole new level.
Oh, Robbie, we got to build this place. This sounds amazing.
It's like, this is it. This is our retirement plan. Uh-huh.
With like a miniature cereal hotel. We can talk about Kellogg's. That would be, wow, what a wild history.
But we're so off. So, vampires.
Oh, that's right. We're talking about vampires. Yeah, okay, let me get this straight. He pulls up to a town that is completely dead. All the way down to like the plant life, like everything is dead. So the brochure definitely had a lot of photoshopping going on, is what it sounds like.
Mm-mm. Yep, that's right.
Or just some stock footage. Can't trust a place that uses stock footage.
I think I'm going to have for you, Stephen, two questions that you'll have to answer. First of all is, what happened to the town? And then two, who are the vampires here?
So what is the town? What happened to the town? I think on face value, there's two directions that I kind of see is going. Direction number one is, this used to be a very beautiful, quaint little region. And obviously some vampires moved in. And voila, we have a dead plant town. Direction number two is that this town was never real in the first place. And it was founded by vampires as a lure.
It's like a fly trap.
Yeah, a fly trap, a fishing lure, any number of things. And so I wouldn't be surprised if these vampires have a really amazing social media and advertising manager to just make this town look fantastic. Their SEO on their website must be so good to attract all these people. Now, okay, I take that back. It's probably not that good because he's the only one there visiting. And he had that brochure for months. If all they're using is brochures, I kind of doubt how good their marketing team is. I take it back. So what do you think? Are these vampires in business, or are these vampires just kind of draining the land?
After our whole conversation, I'm using every fire in my building not to take this a weird, funky, wacky, funny route. Because this is a horror story. We're telling a horror story.
Well, to be frank, you did establish that with this squeaky tree girl. So,
yeah,
she's by far the most fascinating part about this whole story. Her and the bowl of cereal.
Her and the bowl of cereal. The bowl of cereal is definitely the main character in this story. Mm-hmm. Jake is just a distraction.
Yeah,
He's the red herring.
Actually, do you want to know what it is? I just figured it out. The whole plot and story. So we do have a cereal themed hotel, which is amazing. And vampires love cereal, but they cannot digest cereal. I'm not sure if you knew this, but all vampires are lactose intolerant. But so they created this whole hotel so that people come and, you know, just like load up on delicious cereal, which like enriches your blood. It's probably like high in iron, makes your blood like iron count like super high. And then they drink the humans and they just get that like slight like aftertaste of beautiful Captain Crunch.
As wacky as that sounds, I actually think it would be pretty creepy because like we have the hotel. There's probably like a little grocery store. There's like all these essential places. Mm-hmm. And these are the only places where you ever see life in the town. Like the little grocery store, the gas station, maybe a car shop, whatever, mm-hmm. the mayor's government housing, whatever. But everything else, nothing. You never see lights on. You never see people out in the streets. Mm. All the doors are just closed, except for these few homes. And I'm going to go and say that as wacky as it is, it would be funny if the only thing you could buy here was the cereal. Like you go to the shop and it's milk and cereal, and you have to, stepping out of the joke for a second. If you set this up as a creepy story and you kind of see people constantly offering him cereal, it goes from being wacky and funny to actually really kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't funny. Stop it with the cereal thing.
Okay. So to take this down a more serious route, I probably see this town having a tiny bit more life, but deeper into the town, not on the surface, which is where the people passing through would be. And I would probably remove the narrative of the cereal, even though
I
love it. But I'm going to keep the spirit of it because I want to suggest something and tell me what you think. This barren land that we see this city on actually is not completely barren, even though there's no plant life, that the grounds are gray. Everything just doesn't seem right on the surface. But in the distance, behind the town, there are farms, large farms, and they are growing food that can only be grown here through like very, very specific farming techniques. So yes, there is a supermarket, and yes, there is food served in this hotel, but it is branded and owned by this city, and they do not sell anything else outside of what they grow there. And so when you buy something, you're buying it, you know, grown right there in their soil. But you know, kind of taking a step back, what if these vampires actually did have to prepare their victims? They can't just, it maybe like the assuming that this is America that we're talking about, maybe like the American diet is too fatty or too something, too loaded with certain types of sugars that are not good for vampires, for like the vampire diet. And so they have to replace your diet with a very specific vampire diet. And that's
these
what,
vampires like, are, they prefer organic food.
I mean, maybe these vampires have lived a long time because their humans are organic.
Well, you do set up an interesting premise there, because the problem with the current American diet isn't that large part of the problem with the American diet, and really the diet throughout the world, is that it's not just about getting too much of one nutrient. It is that we're lacking a lot in other nutrients. We're focusing too much on these foods that are giving us a couple of basic food groups when there's so much more we need. And so,
well, and there's another aspect to the standard diet that we see around the world, particularly here as well, is that we have a very processed diet. You know, processed flours, processed sugars, and that in itself, I think, I mean, if we're talking about our vampires, might cause a lot of issues for them. You know, they might have very sensitive tummies. They have to make sure that their blood is premium, okay?
These guys don't like it when their food eats processed food. It's not right. they're like, they know what processed food does to you. Come on.
No, I do think, though, like right now on the surface, I'm laughing at it because I do think it's funny, but we could rock that down a very, very creepy path.
Can I paint something for you?
Yeah, please.
I do have an image that I think will say that. Jake drives into town. He's having that refreshing moment of cool, you know, fall air rushing in through the window. And as he looks out, he sees a giant farmhouse. And on it is the big sign, Little Nook Goods.
Oh, cute.
And he watches it as it goes, doesn't think about it, and drives into town. The little town is Little Nook, by the way. I deleted that from the story because I didn't introduce it well. Yay. Okay.
We'll bring it back again. Cool.
Yeah.
Little Nook.
Fast forwarding to the first part of our story, Jake, after having dealt with the strange girl on the swing, the ever pleasant lady at the front desk, is now off to go get supplies at the grocery store. And he's walking into the store, still trying to shake off the stiffness of the cold air and really get into the mood of fall. He pushes his way in, hears the jingle of the glass doors that opens, and begins to browse the food items. And there is something he immediately notices. He goes past the dairy aisle, browses all of the meats, the vegetables, and the fruits, and there's one consistent thing on each of them: Little Nook Goods. All things are branded and come from the Little Nook farmhouse. And I think that would be kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I think this branding, especially if you design the logo in such a way, like something about it that seems old,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a brand that you would see from, I don't know, some shop from the early 1800s.
Mm-hmm. I think the whole store experience can be a really good experience, especially if you do like the classic scary movie. He walks into the store and everybody looks up at him. Like, he catches people off guard
wherever he goes.
I think like Little Nook as well. We could probably contrast a little bit, because we can have that old farmhouse vibe, but what if for some reason the packaging is bright and vibrant, but the town just looks dead?
Ooh, interesting. So I like that contrast.
And so they're trying to paint an image of something that they're not. And so the only bright colors, like in this entire, say this is a movie, is on like this food packaging.
Ooh. It's the only color you see, especially if, like, you have like the truck driving in the town mm-hmm. to deliver the goods. And it is like, it's like a rainbow driving down the street. It is popping with colors. And there's that logo again, the giant Little Nook Goods kind of stands out wherever he goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So question then, when you eat this food, like, does it do something to you psychologically, or is it just like a dietary thing? Because I kind of want to say, like, the more that you're there, and obviously he doesn't know this, but the more that he's in this area and replacing the food that he brought with him with the food that he's eating there, the more that he doesn't want to leave.
I wonder if it is something like that. I did have this image where probably later on in the story, You know, he starts to realize that there are people in town. You know, one day he's walking down the street about to go camping or go fishing at a pond, and he looks up and he notices that there's a man. The second story of one of the houses that he thought was totally abandoned is actually sitting there staring at him. And the second he makes eye contact with him, the classic, you know, chilly closes the blinds. Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's creepier just to leave it open, just watches him as he goes. And then, you know, maybe he's going down to the river and there's this man there who's doing some fly fishing. And the man looks at him and then looks away and he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" Doesn't respond. And kind of gets up next to him. The guy just ignores him the whole time and just keeps fly fishing. And this just keeps going and going and going everywhere he goes. Just strange things where he realizes the town is actually very much populated. Mm-hmm. It just feels dead.
Okay. I just thought of two things.
Oh.
Thing number one, the more that he's there and eats the food, the brighter the town looks. So like when he first gets there, you know, everything is like really dark, dreary, very colorless. And then like as time goes on, not only do the colors become just a little bit more vibrant, but people seem to act more friendly as well. As in the longer he's creepy. There, the more that they act as if he's always been there. They just become like more friendly. Little by little, like this town is kind of taking over him. And thing number two, what if, you know, he's sleeping, he's been there for some reason his trip gets extended. He's now been there longer than what he intended to be. And he wakes up like maybe early morning, and he notices that he has two little bug bites on, like, say maybe like close to his neck. There's just like these two little like spots. They look swollen. And he's like, "Ah, dang it, like bugs must have gotten in." And over the next couple of nights, like, things are fine. And then he wakes up, and then on his leg, two more little bug bites that are equally spaced apart as the first two.
Ooh.
And so, like, as time goes on, he starts noticing like these, what he thinks are little bug bites. But I mean, obviously they're not. I mean,
I wonder if it would be, if there's a way where we could actually capture this,
mm-hmm.
these bug bites in a more subtle way. In a movie, this would be easier to tell than, say, a book.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, you could get very, very vibrant with the book. Like, I think you could totally do this as a book.
You could. Oh, yeah. There's certainly ways of doing it. It's just, it's challenging. But I do have this vision in my head. And I know this is kind of like the antithesis of what we did in the last episode where there was an obsession with mirrors.
Yeah.
And not quite going off of this whole idea of the, not, I'm not trying to go off the whole vampires look in the mirror and they don't see themselves. You might think that at first, but I would say that this town is devoid of mirrors. You just can't find them. There isn't one in the hotel. There isn't one anywhere else. And, you know, kind of going back into this image where over time, day by day, as he eats more and more of Little Nook goods, suddenly things do get brighter. And I had this image in my head where one night he gets back from like a particularly good day of fishing, and he goes to the window, and the girl that was there before making the screeching sound is now actually happily swinging, you know, going back and forth, rolling on the swing with all this joy, and the screeching's gone. And I think that's something you could put in there. Like, every day the screeching gets quieter.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you'll have to explain like why it's okay. I think they could say that perhaps she has some kind of joke that she plays on people that come to the hotel. Is like, she'll stop after a while. If you could be, please be patient with her. She's the mayor's daughter, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, that's weird.
Well, and here's the thing too. Like, I probably wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the coldness and, you know, the screechy little girl was actually face value legit. As in, when they detect that there's somebody there that they're not converted yet, she does screech and she is creepy. And the more that you become like them, the more that they literally, like, personality changes. And, you know, and maybe the story ends, kind of jumping to the ending, with a new person coming, and suddenly, like, he's dark and cold towards them. And he's now changed.
That's
and he's
a good
now
twist.
Become like them. And so he thinks that everything's like just fine. But then like his mood and personality takes over when he sees somebody from the outside for the first time. And he's like, what is this person doing here? Like, how dare they come to my slice of heaven?
Ooh, I like that. Cold. Ooh, that's a good twist. I love it. I wonder if kind of adding into that, kind of going back to the bug bite thing,
mm-hmm.
what if in any instant, like the rearview mirror of his car, whenever he takes selfies by the river, instead of seeing, you know, the bug bites per se, but he notices he's a little more disheveled, where his eyes are more sunken, his skin is a little more pale.
Oh, turning into a little raisin.
He seems to even be getting skinnier almost. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't feel that way. He feels fine.
And he probably is like eating a ton of food.
Yeah, he's eating great. And he only barely notices these things. And what if, kind of going off what you're saying, maybe it's not a defense mechanism. What if everyone in the town are actually this way, but the more they eat the food and they are getting drained, the vampires are coming, drinking of their blood at night, but they're all falling into this illusion where everything seems fine. So mm-hmm. when he sees the girl, that is her actually crying out in pain, but she doesn't see it that way. She's giggling in joy. And
okay.
Instead, you know, the man who's the strange old withering man at the river is actually on the verge of death as he fly fishes. But it's all a reversal where he eventually joins them, becomes one of these sickly looking people who keeps to himself. But then the illusion is, just like you're saying, everything seems fine. He gets accepted and they all begin to interact with him. And then that new person comes into town and seems like an invader of sorts.
Well, they are. So, they are an invader.
Yeah, they're coming in on their territory. So I think this answers our question. The town is a prison. It's a place, maybe not necessarily a prison, but definitely...
If you stick around, you're probably not going to leave.
You know what's a better way to put it? It's more of a butcher house. Because I think people eventually do wither away and die here.
Yeah, it's a farm.
It's a farm. Oh, yeah, that's a great way of putting it. It's a farm. It's Little Nook Goods. Creepy.
Yeah, I wonder if instead of Little Nook Goods, if I'd call it like Little Nook Prairie or Little Nook Farms. Like really kind of leaning into this farm idea.
Yeah. It'd be great if we could put something ironic in the name. Cause I like Little Nook.
Uh-huh.
And I like farms because that definitely plays into the theme. If there was something more probably farms is a safe play. Let's keep it simple. Little Nook Farms. I like it.
The Little Nook Butcher House.
I did originally have in my mind that there's the Little Nook Farm where all the goods get made.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea where eventually when someone gets too weak, that they're actually taken to the farm and somehow in the process are used to continue the farm.
Well, and I kind of had that thought as well, that maybe, yeah, he's fishing, but maybe he's actually slowly, they're like, oh, you like fishing? We'll buy your fish from you. And before he knows it, he's actually working and supplying fish for the market.
He becomes another clog in the town.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Which, hey, plays into the mythology. He becomes a slave to the vampire. Boom. Honestly, I think that's it. I think this we could call it right there if we wanted to.
Yeah. They work him until he's gone.
Yeah. Slowly withering away. I like that. Well, guys, I apologize if we creeped any of you out too much. I hope this was fun. I mean, the point was to give a creepy story, so. Thanks for, or maybe it wasn't creepy at all, and we failed horribly.
Sometimes it's just the psychological aspect, Robbie, that makes it creepy.
Yeah, I mean, I would get creeped out in this town. I would hope I'd catch it and realize what's happening to me. Because, I mean, taking a selfie and being like, gosh, why do I look so sick? Or maybe he finds a mirror mm-hmm. that someone hid away in a house and he sees himself and he literally looks like he's dying.
Oh, poor. You know? And it's kind of sad because he's not looking at himself, he actually feels really good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all an illusion.
What if the vampire bites actually gave you adrenaline?
Oh, gosh. So they're living, they're essentially surviving on drugs. And it's terrible. Yeah. But it could be a natural process for the vampire. Like, it's just included in the venom.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's injected, right?
Yeah. And it might not be adrenaline, but something very similar to adrenaline, where it's just, like, this superpower shot where you just wake up and you feel so good and you're just ready to get out there and do some more fishing or some more logging, or suddenly you're tilling the grounds and preparing this very special diet of food.
Never realizing you're living on the brink, like seconds away from total collapse.
Oh, so sad.
We'd like to take this moment for you guys to do your own vampire story. Do a twist, avoid sparkles, and see what happens.
Or write sparkles. If you love sparkles, you do sparkles. Don't let Robbie tell you no.
Actually, real challenge here, guys. Can you make a creepy, sparkly vampire and somehow make the sparkles themselves like the creepiest part? Please do that. That would be amazing.
Okay. Yeah. I want to see those stories. Alrighty. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us on today's episode of Creators Playbook. If you want to find us on Twitter, come search for us. We are at Creators PB Pod. We are also on Facebook if you look for Creators Playbook in the little search box, or facebook.com/creators playbook. And if you want to refer back to this episode, please use hashtag CPPodcast035.
Woo!
And that's it. Oh, so as a reminder, October 31st, which is a Saturday, is going to be our first live stream on YouTube. The broadcast will be at 11 o'clock Mountain Time. So come check it out. We will have more information on both Twitter and Facebook for how to listen to it. And we will just get more information out before we are ready to do that broadcast.
Guys, we're so excited. Can't wait to see you there.
Can't wait, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
See ya.
Creators Playbook is a Talaya Studios production. If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at contact@creatorsplaybook.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We cannot wait to see what you make.
Because you are a snack. Just going to put that out there. But no.
I have no response.
Do you know what? We can cut that out. I do not care.
And this is the story of a funny little... I'm just kidding. Wow. A funny little vampire who called himself... da 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 da. If I knew the song
I'm
better,
so excited.